listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER 107.3. Joel Kassam is my name. I hope you're doing very well and thank you for joining me this week. If you're new to the show, this is where I invite a special guest into the studio and they take the musical reins by playing four of their favourite songs. Alright, let's find out who we've got this week. My guest today is a writer, producer and technology advocate. Formerly known worldwide by her cosplay alias Eve Beauregard, she has now moved herself even higher up the awesome scale by creating games for education, entertainment, medicine, business and so much more. Doing amazing work by trying to make the gaming industry more diverse, I speak of none other than Ali McLean. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've done, I'm assuming, quite a bit of travelling in your time, but where did you grow up?
I have done a bit of travelling, but I grew up on the south coast of New South Wales, so down near Shell Harbour, Wollongong area.
Okay, and did you move up to Sydney when you were younger or?
No, so I moved up to Sydney when I finished high school. So I was 18 when I moved out.
Okay, what were you like at school?
The worst.
The worst? Troublemaker?
No, I was just like, I have an anxiety disorder and it was really, really bad when I was a teenager. So I was really, really shy. And just like not good socially. So people would talk to me and I would like lash out.
Oh no.
Yeah, it took a while to learn how to people.
How to people. Yeah. Okay, so did you play like video games and stuff when you were little? Was that a thing for you?
Yeah, I have two older brothers. They're 5 and 6 years older than me. And so they were always playing video games. It was always kind of like a social currency in our household for sort of how much do you know about this game and like how good are you at it. A lot of the time they would be like giving me a controller that was not plugged in and having me imagine that I was playing. But eventually I did start playing them myself.
I'm actually trying to think myself. I think I have a younger brother and then a younger sister. And I think we may have actually done the same.
Yeah,
so
I guess
on behalf
like
of older brothers, I'm sorry. Like,
I know, that's the like original Let's Play culture.
Yeah. So when did the whole cosplay begin? When did you fall in love with it?
So my brothers, again, took me to a convention when I was 13, 14 for the first time. And I saw all these people in costume and I was like, they're like rock stars to me because they just look like shiny and like they had all the cool stuff and lots of people taking photos with them. And it was kind of the first time that I realized that there were a lot of other people who shared my interests, because on the South Coast, there was not any nerd culture. It's very different now. Like I go down and do an event called Comic Gong with Wollongong City Libraries, where there's like all these kids and teenagers and families and stuff all like doing cosplay and reading comic books and engaging with that stuff. But there was nothing like that when I was growing up there. So coming up to Sydney and going to a convention for the first time kind of blew me away and definitely got me into the cosplay scene pretty hardcore.
You were pretty young though. You were saying 13, 14. That's very young to get into it, isn't it? Or is that quite normal?
No, I like that's a pretty normal age for people to start kind of dabbling. Generally, it's not great at that age. It's a lot of like eBay wigs and like $2 store makeup and stuff. And there's like super embarrassing photo evidence of that you can still find on the internet.
Of you or just in general?
Of me.
Oh, great. Okay. There you go, people. Go and check that out. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Old New Borrowed Blue and I'm joined by game runner and passionate advocate for women in gaming, Ali McLean. Let's get into the tunes. What can you tell us about your old song?
So I chose Vienna by Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. And it is one of my mom's favorite songs. It's a song that I always kind of remember hearing around the house growing up, and it's still on frequent rotation in my playlist. So,
okay, well, this is Off the Stranger. This is Billy Joel with Vienna.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile, but then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Told that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? fine. You can't be everything you wanna be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight. Too bad, but it's the life you lead. You're so ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you could see when you're wrong, you know you can't always see when you're right. You're right. You got your passion, you got your pride, but don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Child, and take the phone off the hook and disappear for a while. It's all right, you can't afford to lose a day or two. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? And you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want, or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, why don't you realize Vienna waits for you? When will you realize Vienna waits for you?
Thank you, Mr. Billy Joel. That was Vienna off the album The Strangers. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Old New Borough Blue. And my guest today is Ali McLean. Now, Ali, for someone who's never done cosplay like myself, and you just said that you were you had anxiety and stuff as a kid, I would have thought this was for people who were extroverts. Can you explain how you got into it then?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I used to get that question a lot and kind of still do because I do a lot of speaking and kind of forward-facing stuff. And I think cosplay massively helped me work through social anxiety in particular, because when you're in cosplay, it's kind of like wearing a big sign that's like, I love this thing. You can talk to me about specifically this thing, which is kind of a nice condition to put on social interactions. So if you're someone who doesn't relate to other people easily, having an immediate conversation and having an immediate topic that you know you're both interested in is actually a really good opener to that.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay. And what about your self-esteem? Does it make you feel better about yourself?
For sure. I think particularly as a young woman, exploring a lot of different characters who empowered me in different ways, whether it was like dressing up like a really sexy character and getting to kind of explore that, or dressing up as like a really strong character and getting to explore kind of taking care of myself and being empowered in that way. It definitely was, it was overall a really empowering experience.
So when did you get to the point where you were like, I think I'm actually becoming a celebrity doing this?
So I made the separate kind of name and page and everything when I was kind of 15, 16, because I found anyone who's ever been to a convention would know that like in the period post-convention, you start getting all these friend requests from people that you don't really know, who you met over the weekend and who, you know, will probably become lifelong friends. But then there's a lot of dead set strangers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I wanted to separate that. And that was a very wise decision when I think back on it. And then that page just kind of kept bubbling along. It started to grow really gradually. And then there was like the great Facebook page boom that lasted for like a year and a half. And I was really fortunate to be involved in that.
Okay.
So around the time when I was at university, I started doing a bunch of photo shoots. Like a few of them went viral. And then my page kind of went from like 20, 30,000, which I thought was already a crazy amount, up to like the hundreds of thousands, 300,000, that kind of numbers. So I was getting all this crazy traffic, and that was kind of when I was like, maybe I should use this for something. So yeah.
Okay, so how did you say, okay, I'm gonna take it from having fun and doing this and then make it into a business, which you pretty much did?
So my page went from like 20,000, 30,000 people to 300,000 people.
Yeah.
So that's a very powerful audience to have. And I thought, what can I do with this? Not only to make a living, but also to sort of broadcast things that I think are important and share things that I care about. And that naturally kind of led to working a lot with conventions, working with video game publishers, working with like pop culture companies to combine kind of the things that I cared about in the community as well as the things that I was good at doing, which was like producing photo shoots and videos and that kind of stuff.
So when did you just think, okay, I'm not in love with this anymore. I don't want to do it. When did that happen?
As I got started working more in marketing and brand management stuff, and I started to realize that, hey, actually the skill set that I have from doing all of these years of cosplay work really directly applies to sort of more hands-on, full-time, more businessy work, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more stability in that too. So being able to be employed by someone else is really nice and not to have to constantly freelance and run your own business. So there's that. But then it was also the community changed a lot. So when I first started doing cosplay, pop culture conventions were still relatively niche and stuff like Comic-Con. Well, I mean, stuff like Oz Comic Con didn't even exist. We had like one big convention that we would go to every year. Whereas now, pop culture is a lot more mainstream. And so we have a lot more people going to conventions that aren't necessarily part of that community, that core community. Not that I think that that's a bad thing, but It is different. So generally, like, and it's unfortunate, but being a woman in like maybe a more provocative costume is a lot more risky now than it used to be.
Yeah. We've got to get into your new song now. What have you gone with?
I went with Janelle Monáe with Make Me Feel.
And why have you chosen this song?
So this song makes me look cool. No, so I don't listen to many new artists or like popular artists. And Janelle Monáe is one of the only new artists who I really love. And so I thought, let's choose something that people will actually know.
All right. Great choice then.
Yeah. Baby, don't make me spell it out for you. All of the feelings that I got for you can't be explained, but I can try for you. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for you. You keep on asking me the same questions.
Why?
And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way.
So good, so good, so fucking real. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know I love you, so please don't stop it.
You got me right here in your jean pocket
right now.
Laying your body on the shag carpet. Oh, you know I love you, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm that's just the way you make me feel.
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 So good, so good, so fucking real. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
Yes, Make Me Feel, Janelle Monáe. Did I say that right, Janelle Monáe?
I think so.
Cool, that'll do. That's close enough. Sorry, Janelle, if that's wrong. So how did you get into the gaming industry? Did the Eve brand help you at all? Or
It definitely did. I mean, I was doing contract work with like a lot of big publishers like Microsoft and Sony and Hi-Rez and that kind of thing. And eventually, so I'm a huge fan of the Witcher series, which is like an RPG, like fantasy RPG, where you get to play as this guy that like kills monsters for a living, and it's really fun. And I've always been a big fan of it. And then one day I posted that I was like, maybe I should cosplay this character from The Witcher. And then the community manager from CD Projekt Red, the company that makes The Witcher series, reached out and was like, hey, maybe you could cosplay the new version of that character for the new installment of the game. And I was like, that's great. And then I like didn't leave him alone for the rest of the time. And eventually they gave me a job being a community consultant on the game. So I got to fly all around the world, work in Europe, in the US and Australia, promoting the game, working with the cosplay communities, working on events. And that was kind of my big break. Like The Witcher 3 was a huge game.
Absolutely. So. And still is. But you actually are a character in that game, aren't you?
I got to be like the face of Yennefer Vengerberg, who is one of the female leads of the game.
And so then do you play the game and talk to yourself? Does that happen?
It wasn't as weird for me as I think it was for other people. So when they were promoting the game right before it came out, Conan O'Brien played the game on his show, and he had like a Clueless Gamer segment.
Okay.
And the scene that he played was like a really graphic sex scene with my character.
Oh, God.
And it was very uncomfortable for everyone that knows me. To me, it was very funny. It was very uncomfortable to everyone else.
Was there a game other than The Witcher 3 that changed your life where you thought, this is what I want to do?
There are a bunch of games that did that for me. One of the big ones was Bioshock Infinite.
Okay.
So when I played that, I was going through a pretty rough time. And Elizabeth, who's like the female lead of that game, was this sort of amazing figure, this female character of like the phoenix rising from the ashes, essentially. It's more complicated than that, but we don't have time to explain it. So that game to me was kind of a big eye-opener to games as a vehicle for really powerful storytelling and also for really complex and interesting representation of women. And so those two things have been real driving forces behind who I am as a game developer.
Okay, cool. You have actually developed your own game, haven't you? Rumu, the point-and-click adventure game. What can you tell us about that?
So Rumu is a point-and-click narrative-driven adventure game, and it's about a robot vacuum cleaner with feelings.
Okay. And it got quite popular, didn't it? Last year it was quite huge.
Yeah, so it was actually voted Australia's favourite game of 2017 by Kotaku readers, which is pretty crazy. And it was nominated for a bunch of awards. All the stuff is still going on, but yeah, it went really well. So it was kind of this sort of sad story about grief and love and loss, but told through the lens of this very Pixar-esque little cute vacuum cleaner who makes like little R2-D2 noises and goes around cleaning stuff up.
Where did the idea come from?
Just the weird part of my brain.
Yeah, that's where everything I say comes from. I understand. There's a book coming out later this year, I think, Women in Gaming, 100 Pioneers of Play. You're a part of this, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
This is very exciting.
So this is written by Megan Marie, who's this really incredible, prolific member of the games industry. She's the senior community manager over at Crystal Dynamics. So basically, she's a really big driving force behind all the new Tomb Raider games. And yeah, she's written a bunch of books, and one of her new books is Pioneers of Play, which is this book where she'll be profiling 100 women in the games industry. So I'll be profiled in the book, and I'm also writing an essay to be part of it, which is about difficult women, so basically characters who break tropes or defy stereotypes in games.
That's awesome. That's so great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We have to get into your borrowed song now. What have you gone with and why?
That was such a good story for this one.
Okay, great.
So I chose Stars from Les Mis.
You did?
So I was never a big Les Mis fan. And then as we were discussing earlier, I moved out of home when I was like 18. I moved up to Newtown. I immediately met a terrible boyfriend who was a really big fan of Les Mis, and so he would always walk around singing this song, and it used to annoy me so much. And then he actually got onto the show X Factor, and his audition song was this song, and he messed it up so bad in like the part of those shows where they make them like go out and sing in front of celebrity judges and there's like an audience and stuff. He like got all the way through to that part and tried to sing this song and like messed it up so bad. And so for so long I'd hated this song, and then this is like the end of our relationship, and this song was like the perfect symbol of me just being like, oh, you suck so much. And so this song now makes me so happy.
I think that might be my favorite intro to a song. Well done. This is Stars from Les Mis.
Out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God, fallen from grace. God be my witness, I never shall yield till we come face to face, till we come face to face. He knows his way in the dark. Mine is the way of the Lord. Those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. And if they fall as Lucifer fell, the flame, the sword. Stars, in your multitudes, scarce to be counted, filling the darkness with order and light. You are the sentinels, silent and sure, keeping watch in the night, keeping watch in the night. You know your place in the sky. You hold your course and your aim. And each in your season returns and returns and is always the same. And if you fall as Lucifer fell, you fall in flames. And so it must be, for so it is written on the doorway to paradise, that those who falter and those who fall must pay the price. Lord, let me find him, that I may see him safe behind bars. I will never rest till then. This I swear, this I swear by the
stars there from Les Mis. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER. My guest today is Ali McLean. I wanted to ask you about The Working Lunch. Can you tell us what it's about?
Yeah, so The Working Lunch is a mentorship program for entry-level women in the games industry. So basically, like, people who have just finished studying or they've been working in other industries and they're looking to move across, and we pair them up with other, like, experienced working women in the industry. So basically it's like we have people who are really interested in being journalists, and it's like, okay, you're going to be mentored for an entire year by, for example, the editor of Gizmodo.
Yeah. And was this your idea? Did you come up with this?
Yeah. So I took it to IGEA. So that's the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association, who are an amazing group of people that are based here in Sydney. And I took it to them and they funded the whole project and I direct it.
When I was doing research for the show, this is when I found out that only 19% of people in the gaming industry are female. That really took me by surprise.
And it's even worse when you consider that 50% of people playing games are women.
Yeah, exactly. And then you will play games and a lot of the time it's a male sort of dominated game, like it'll be a male lead or whatever. Is this the idea now? You're trying to build women in the industry and maybe build women up in games as well. Is this what you are after here? Or
yeah, so the goal is kind of, I hate to use the word holistic, but it is, it's a holistic approach. So it's, we need more women in every aspect of creating games, and then we will see more diverse content created. You know, if we only have men making games, then we are generally only going to see the male perspective represented in the games that they make.
Yeah. And what sort of challenges are you facing so far?
Yeah, so it's actually been surprisingly smooth sailing so far.
Okay.
I mean, it was hard at first when we were trying to get funding for it, but we were really lucky to find IGEA. And again, one of the biggest obstacles is convincing these incredible women working in the industry that they are qualified and experienced enough to be mentors.
Right.
Because frequently accomplished women aren't told or encouraged enough to like acknowledge their own skill set and their own abilities and their own accomplishments. So one of the huge things has been having those conversations with these women who I admire and saying, no, you are incredible. Yeah. And you are good enough and you have so much to contribute.
What's the reception been like?
It's been really, really positive. I mean, we had over 100 applications and
oh,
we could
wow.
only take 10. And while that was hard to kind of whittle that down, what was really encouraging about it is that the next wave of women who are going to come through and revolutionize the industry are here. Like, they're ready and they're actively seeking out opportunities.
That's awesome. I wanted to ask you, what is next for you? And then I saw the tattoo on your arm, which actually says what's next.
Yes.
What's the meaning behind that?
This is a West Wing reference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's all it is?
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's kind of a loaded statement in that a lot of what I've been doing kind of my whole life and my whole career is kind of figuring out what's the next thing. So,
do you have a plan for what's after this?
Or? Yeah. So I'm actually next week starting a new job.
Yeah.
So I'm going to a company called Third Sense, who focus on creating games for medicine and education and entertainment and business and just everything, basically. It's a really broad spectrum of projects, and I'm really, really excited to join their team.
That's amazing. Ali, we wish you all the best with a new job.
Thank
with
you.
The working lunch, because I think it's a wonderful idea. I'm so glad you're doing it. We'll put all the links up on our website. But for now, you have to take us out with your blues song. What have you gone with and why?
So I couldn't really do this show without at least half of the songs being musical theatre.
Okay.
Because that is like 95% of my playlist.
It's great.
And so I've chosen one of my favourite songs from one of my favourite musicals. This is Breathe from In the Heights.
Respira. Si pierdes mis huellas, que Dios te bendiga. Respira.
This is my street. I smile at the faces I've known all my life. They regard me with pride, and everyone's sweet. They say you're going places. So how can I say that while I was away, I had so much to hide? Hey guys, it's me. The biggest disappointment, you know. The kid couldn't hack it. She's back and she's walking real slow. Welcome home. Just breathe.
Sigue andando el camino por toda su vida. Respira.
Just breathe.
Si pierdes mis huellas, que Dios te bendiga. Respira.
As the radio plays old forgotten boleros, I think of the days when this city was mine. I remember the praise. Ay, te adoro, te quiero. The neighborhood waved and said, Nina, be brave and you're gonna be fine. And maybe it's me, but it all seems like lifetimes ago. So what do I say to these faces that I used to know? Hey, I'm home.
Mira, Nina.
Hey,
no me preocupo por él.
They're not worried about me.
Mira, allí está nuestra estrella.